Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
We are unstoppable because we are with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, led by the Lord Holy Spirit. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Grateful. Those are awesome sounds coming from 3C Live on the lead, Arch Bilankulu, and the song Unstoppable. I promised the family that I will be talking to Dr. Nthola. He is on the line with me together with Ntate Kekana, Nimrod Kekana. They have launched a book, The Joyful and Humble Prophetic Activist, Bra Mos Ntla. Dr. Nthola, dumela hle. How are you, sir? I am blessed of the Lord. Welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Thank you.
What a book. I read the title and I'm like, okay, how did this one come about? You are giving him his flowers whilst he's still alive. You are celebrating him whilst he's still alive. What influenced that?
What influenced it was because he meant so much to me as Trevor Sowetan. But also, he meant so much as a servant of God. He also meant so much to me as a friend because of what he did, not only when I was young and to this day, but not only to me, to many of us. And then Reverend Nimrod Kekana will also bear witness. So basically, that's there.
So tell us about that journey of him ministering to you first before he can minister to others.
Is it for me or for Kekana?
From you. You mentioned that he ministered to you first.
Yes. Yes.
We'd love to hear your journey with him.
Yes. Many years ago in the 80s, I was still living in Soweto. Of course, now I'm no longer living there, though I still see myself as Sowetan. I was 19 years old. It was at the height of apartheid, where I was a Bible student in one of the big churches in this country. They had a Bible college in Soweto. And then we were expelled before we graduate, myself and the other student, because we stood up against the racism that was practiced within the church. And the church at that time took a stance to be against Bishop Tutu, who called for sanctioning. Yet our church believed that we as Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. And then suddenly we were expelled and we were left with a month or two to finish our... actually, we were right in the middle of our exams, and then we were expelled. And then our lecturer, who also contributed to the book, he wrote a chapter here, was expelled. And then we also wanted to read his unconditional reinstatement. And then because of that, we were then expelled. And then that very night, we were scared. It was Friday, I still remember. And my dad had called me to meet him in town to go and buy clothes for the graduation, which was coming in a month or so. And that very day, the police came accompanying the president of the church with his entourage, which in those days, if you remember, this was 1980s, people used to disappear, people used to be killed. And then our Bible college was surrounded by police. And then they spoke with us, and that's why we were scared when we were called one by one to this meeting. And that's when I was expelled with my fellow students. And 90% were not expelled. And then that evening, we had a visitor by the name of Reverend Dinta. So he never came into my life when SM Rudy. He came into my life as a fellow comrade, as someone who is a Christian, who stood up for justice and an anti-apartheid activist. So So that's how I got to know him. And then since that time, this was 1988, I was 20 or 19 years old.
Right.
Since that time to this day, we have walked the journey. So he ended up being my spiritual father, my spiritual mentor, and so forth.
Wow. Sure. So he came as an activist. And so when we look at the book, it says the joyful and humble prophetic activist. Are you connecting those years together with his ministry, or how does it work? What brought about that kind of a title?
Yeah. Ramos, we call him Ramos because he's accessible. He doesn't come across as a man of God. He doesn't, I mean, I'm saying that in a provocative way. I mean, we know we have people who are called men of God, but they're not accessible.
Mm.
We pretend, we play religious games with them, we call them, we read their titles, but actually we don't, when we're around them, we're not accessible. So that's why we call him Ramos. He's a pastor, he's a reverend. But also, he's prophetic.
Mm.
And by prophetic, we mean prophetic is one who is not afraid to speak the truth to power. And
yeah.
In those days, it was against apartheid. And now in the democratic dispensation, he still continues to do that. So he has been consistent all the way. I can mention some of the stuff. In fact, the book addresses some of the stuff that he has done, even in the democratic dispensation where he spoke to power. And then, of course, activist. He's been prophetically activistic on the ground. He has done stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's why we gave that title. But also, just to conclude, he's someone who is very joyful.
Okay.
You know, he laughs. It's not like happiness. It's more than that. It's a fruit of the spirit, which is joy. And then it undermines some realities that are happening in our lives, you know. And then you'll find Ramos, despite the storm, the pain, what is going on, you'll see that deep joy that bubbles up.
Wow.
And then it also goes together with humility. So he's someone who ministers to people in the squatter camps, who will spend time with them and sit around the fire with them. And I've seen that in my life. You know, the fact that he came to me as a young man in Soweto, when I was scared, when I was confused, and then he has walked the journey to this day. Hence, I entitled the book that way.
So do you see him as a prophetic voice to each?
Exactly.
All right. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Yes, I do. And he still is, yes.
What transpires whenever he speaks? Is it, are there changes that you have seen happening around as he speaks, that whatever that the Lord has laid in his life, or being it that he is standing up for those who are voiceless as well?
Yes, I think there's something about Christianity. Christianity, let me use this adjective. Authentic Christianity supposed to put us into a place where we have to question ourselves, especially in a public space. Just to make an example, during some years ago, regarding corruption that was happening in the country, Ramos will be the one of the people, in a gentle way, in a humble way, will still speak to authority, and some people would listen, and then they would change their mind.
Mm.
And then they would, to use our Christian language, they would repent and change the way they think.
Mm.
And I can give other examples here.
Mm, 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 mm. And when it came to Muruti now in this dispensation, what are some of the things that he addresses in our current time?
The issue of corruption, he has addressed it. The issue of the e-toll, if you remember, there was this controversial.
It's still there.
Come again?
It's still there.
Yes. The issue of the hot potato, to use an American expression, the Israel and Palestinian dilemma or debate or issue, Ramos is not afraid to go into that space. So those are the issues. And, of course, the issues of poverty, issue of discrimination, and all of that.
So for somebody who's reading this book right now, Cult of the Lord, maybe they are holding an office as a pastor, they are holding an office as an evangelist. What is it that they will gain from this book?
Yeah, they'll have to understand that the God that we serve is much bigger than to be evangelized, or the God that we worship is more bigger than the church. By church in this, I'm using the word church in a narrow sense, like Sunday going to church. But the Church of Jesus Christ is expected, or being a Christian, expected to be. Jesus Christ came so that we become humane, ube lubuntu, ube umuntu. And then I think that lacks, sometimes that's what it lacks in our Christianity, especially in the public space.
Right.
So if you're an evangelist, if you are a prophet, if you are a whatever position that you have, and reading this book, you realize that we have to be the salt, we have to be the light. Not in a narrow sense, but in a way that it will put you in trouble situation. Not because you want to be troublesome, but because the essence of Christianity plunges us into that space.
Uh-huh.
It did that to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before he was crucified, he was a controversial figure, not because he wanted to be controversial, because he spoke truth to the power, he spoke truth to the religious authorities who were then, at that time. He spoke the truth. And then I think Ramos is an epitome of that, or he epitomizes that kind of Christianity.
So he's
not the harmless Christian that is stuck in the four walls of the church.
Ish. That's a painful one right there. But now I'm asking myself, is it encouraging us to go out and speak out? Because most of the times what I've seen with Christians, especially now, we would talk on social media platforms because now that's the famous space, and leave it there. And the question that I would ask myself is, then who is listening when we are complaining or when we are addressing matters via social media platforms? So is it encouraging us to even go beyond the social media platforms, go into parliament, go into these offices, address the ill socials that are happening in our communities head on?
Yes. And not only that,
yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't mention that, Ramos also goes into the international space. As a matter of fact, there are a few chapters here, more maybe four contributors from an international space. One is two from USA, and then the other one's from India, and there's one from Germany, there's one from England, and there's another one from the continent. So just to say, he's also recognized and respected in that space because he also speaks at that platform. And then let me also mention, Ramos is also on the ground. You'll find him at night in a squatter camp, sitting around the fire with young men and boys, and addressing issues.
What a man.
And leading a Bible study, yes.
What a man. What a man. Let me take a moment and greet Musawenkosi Ministries. Greetings to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Martino Malembe joined us all the way from the KZN as well. Thank you so much. So, Dr. Nhla, can you just take us through some of the chapters that are there in the book, because you touched just a little bit. So maybe if you tell us some of the chapters that we will find in there, Dr. Ntlola.
Yeah, the first seven chapters is basically about family or friends. Basically, these are people that is they have a relationship with. Like, for example, someone from the family, two people from the family, and then one. There's a lady who was working with Ramos, who was working with him as who was working with him in the office.
Okay.
Who worked with him for 30 years. And then others are friends, others are in-laws, like the brother-in-law who wrote. And then you have extra and other chapters about more than 10. These are people who also have a close relationship with, but also within a space of a ministry. And then we have someone who like Aaron Mukabani, who worked with Pramos, who was a student activist in the 80s and the early 90s.
Wow.
And we have a professor from University of South Africa. Another thing that I didn't mention is that we also operate at an academic level. And then you have another chapter of ecumenical. These will be people from different faith expressions. For example, Catholics, who many of us will see them not as part of us, but Ramos refuses to be narrowed. So Ramos is involved with the Catholics, is involved with the Anglican, like what normally we call the mainline churches. He's also involved with the people who are from different faiths, where his Christians would agree that he can work together for the sake of the people of South Africa and for justice. And then there's a few chapters from international people, as I mentioned earlier. And then there are other chapters where it's about his spirituality, because that's what makes us to be attracted to him, like a magnet towards Brahmas. So basically, these are young people, these are old people, these are academics, these are poor people, these are women, all kinds of people from different parts of the world.
Sure. I came across this line. Renelo Kagiso Ramashia is a pastoral counselor, administrator, manager, and an associate in logotherapy. Mer Ramashia holds a few postgraduate certificates, among them BTH honors in theology, and currently completing her BTH honors in counseling. And I understand that she went this route encouraged by Brahmos himself, right? So he encouraged. So he believes also in education. What does the family say about him? Because we also look at, and I heard that his brother-in-law wrote something about him. So what does the family say? Because most of the times when we're looking at men of God, as you said, he's a man of God in the true sense. We only look at them outside of the family, everything they can offer everyone, the government, the church, the community, individuals. But what about his own family? What do they say about him?
Again, there are three family members who have contributed. One is the daughter.
Oh.
I can read
yes.
it for you.
Yes.
And then just quickly... My dad is the most selfless and kind-hearted person I know. He always puts others before himself and goes out of his way to help those in need. With a heart of gold and warm smile, he has a way of making everyone feel welcome and loved. Whether it's listening ear or helping hand, my dad is always there for me and our family. And then I just want to go to the last paragraph, so I don't waste your time. As I grow older, I realize more and more how lucky I am to have a dad like mine.
Wow.
He has taught me the importance of hard work, integrity, and compassion, and he has been a constant source of support and encouragement. I aspire to be like him in so many ways, to have a patience, his empathy, and his generosity of spirit. I love my dad more than words can express, and I feel grateful every day to have him in my life. So basically, that's Pemo. Her full name is Pamela, but we call her Pam. That's what she wrote about her dad. And then I'm not sure whether time will allow me to
it still to allows
something about
yes.
about his brother.
Yes.
And then there's somewhere where he says, because they used to call Brahmos had siblings. Some of them has passed on, but there's one who's still alive. He says, Papi raised all of us as children who were treated with respect, and then his children Papi raised all his children strictly and would not allow any insubordination or misbehavior from any of us. This, I suspect, laid a fertile ground for most to join Abazalwane, which is the Zulu name for the born-again Christian. This, as I noticed, was a tender age of around 15, 16, which was very rare occurrence in those days for young men to choose a difficult road in young life. I do not think he would survive in following Jesus Christ, especially at a Tufelop University, because of the unbridled freedom students enjoyed on the campus. Moshe was amazingly steadfast in his belief and faith in Christ Jesus. Thus he came back from university unscathed. So goes on, and then one of the things quickly, our home in Shaken virtually became a meeting place for young activists who wanted to skip the country to join MK. That was the military wing of ANC. That is the, as I said, military wing of ANC. It boggles my mind how much money is to organize these clandestine gatherings at home, because Papi was apolitical. Most did not only believe in a Christian ethos, but he lived it out. He tried to convert us as well, but we always had excuses. So these are the stuff that we, his older brother has written.
And do we have some mentors as well, who have written something in the book?
Yes,
some of his mentors. Are you one of those mentors?
Oh, you're one of them.
Mentees.
Wow, maybe
mentees, not mentors, but mentees.
Mentees. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, wow.
Are you one of those?
Yeah, I'm one of them, obviously. That's why I'm not ashamed. I decided this is the only thing that I can offer, because I wish I was a trillionaire. I would be able to say I want to buy him something, but I had to use the little skills that I have to convince friends, to convince fellow comrades to put this book together, and they came to the party, and for that I'm grateful.
So how do we get the hands on this book? It's so luring. It says, come get me, come read about this great man. What a man. Like, really, we thank God for him in the kingdom. So how do we get the book?
Yeah. This coming Sunday at the AFM church in Johannesburg, I think you've got a pamphlet there that advertises. We will be launching the book, and then it is in that place where we will starting to be selling the book. And from there, we will try to inform our listeners or your listeners where could they get the book. But initially, or our first meeting to get a book, it will be at this church. Let me mention the
name where the church is. Yeah, which AFM?
The church, AFM church is in Johannesburg. Can I get the information quickly? Sorry about that.
If you just joined us, we are talking to Dr. Ntlola, and we are celebrating the book launch, The Joyful and Humble Prophetic Activist, Bramos Ntla. It's celebrating his life and all the achievements he has managed to get now from since the apartheid regime up until now, helping others and being a prophetic voice in South Africa. And we thank God for him. Are you ready, Dr. Trevor?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The book, we would like to invite all the people who would like to come.
Uh-huh.
And then this is where they will get the book. At least we are definitely sure this coming Sunday it will be at the AFM Praise City, is the name of the church. Number 3, Abacom Avenue, this is Auckland Park, not far from the SABC station. So that's where we'll be at the book launch, and then where you can get the book. And then we're starting at 3 o'clock, but we expect people to come in from to register from 2:30.
Okay.
And then we have a RSVP.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go ahead in terms of RSVP?
Yes.
Yeah. We would like people to RSVP Lydia Trindy, Matt Trindy, 082-337-9682. Or Lesotodi, 082-733-4838.
Mm-hmm.
This coming Sunday, the 10th, at 2:30 in the afternoon.
All righty then. Your closing statements, such an interesting book. I think, like, really, everybody should, if we can, get ourselves a copy so we can be inspired, because we have been called for a purpose, for a reason. And if there's somebody that we can celebrate and say, thank God for you. There's a song, I'm sure, maybe if you know it, Dr. Trevor, that says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you came. He is that person that we can say, thank you for giving to the Lord, because of that book that was written by Dr. Trevor and Dadeke Kana. Now look at where I'm at. I was empowered to also make a difference in my generation. So thank you so much for that kind of a book. Your closing statements for those who are coming, those who are, who'd like to get the book in their hands as well.
Yeah. Did you say concluding statements, right?
Yes, your closing statements, sir.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that during the launch, the main speaker or the guest speaker will be the famous and respected Ntate Reverend Dr. Frank Chikani, who also wrote a chapter here and is a very close friend and also a comrade and a fellow pilgrim in the journey of following Jesus Christ to Masinta. Will be there. So we want to encourage people that if they come, they will be able also to have a platform to engage in that. I wanted in that the Chikani and many people who have contributed to the book. Actually, the book has got more than 40 contributors, people who contributed to the book. So I would like to encourage people to come to the book launch and then and get to meet that and then maybe. Not maybe, I shouldn't say maybe, but in that Ntau will be able to sign or autograph the book after you bought it. That's all I wanted. And thank you so much, Matt, for giving me this platform to talk about our friend.
All right. Wow, thank you so much, Dr. Trevor. This is so awesome. This is like a lifetime achievement award. It feels like a lifetime achievement award. And thank you for putting this book together. It also encourages us to say there are other men and women of God around us that we see. They are doing great things. Some are not even pastors, but they are doing awesome in the kingdom. Amen. And they need to be celebrated as well. We need to thank God for them and give them their flowers whilst they're still here and say thank you for giving unto the Lord. Thank you so much, Dr. Amen. Trevor.
God bless you.
What a book, family. What a book. And I believe that we, if we can attend, let's do so. So to RSVP, if you are going to be there, 082-337-9682 is the number that you can call for more information. It's 082-337-9682 alternatively 082-733-4838 In the background, sounds from Sir Martino Malembe. Lord, I thank you.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng.
on Radio Pulpit. Heart to
heart. Pila impilo yakho nathi. Ngena ku radiopulpit.co.za. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.